Hey, friends and leadership gurus out there, personal development junkies, it's David Langiuli and Margaret Katzcan with you today to talk about radical acceptance. We're going to get to what that is. Margaret wrote a brilliant LinkedIn article this week. Go grab it off her profile. Very, very insightful as a way of deepening your understanding about what we're going to be talking about today. Well, welcome, Margaret.
Thank you. Thanks, David. I know that word radical scares people, right?
Yeah.
Already people are like, radical. I don't want to be a radical.
Well, that's true, but there is something about, I like what you say.
And we are choosing it intentionally, right?
Yes. Yeah, we're choosing it intentionally because if folks go over and read your essay or article, you'll see how radical it was for you to accept the situation that you were dealing with your father. And I know about this because you and I have spoken about it many, many times. Another way of saying this would be, if you're watching this, you know Margaret and I have spoken about surrender in the past, but people don't like that word either.
Not much.
Right. So let's dive into this a little bit, this topic of surrender or radical acceptance. And maybe you could share a little bit about what you wrote about and why it inspires us.
Sounds good. And I do think it's, back to the idea of having intentionally chosen the word radical, because I think we can accept things a little, right? We can accept sort of how things are, how somebody is, and still believe deep down that we have some power to make it different or to change them. And I think that's where the word radical comes in. Right. So just to share kind of the story that I share in the article, there was a period many years ago where things were going very badly in my relationship with my dad. He was aging and I think had less tolerance, more grumpiness. He wasn't really a big fan of, the way his life was getting smaller as he got older. And it was really reflecting in our relationship in a way where I was this close to like, I don't even know that I can do this anymore. And every time I spent time with him, I would be wrecked for days. I know, David, you got some phone calls and coaching to try to help pull me off the floor after I would get back and anything. It was just so triggering and it just it wrecked my peace of mind. And I brought it to my therapist, big fan of therapy, big fan of this therapist specifically. And I said, I really don't want to estrange from him. He wasn't actively dying, but he's definitely at the end of his life. And I was really looking for it doesn't feel good to me to pull out of a relationship with him. You know, he's not just one thing. Over the course of my life, he's been more than one thing. So help me, how do I stay in relationship? That feels so tricky. And she asked me the question, Margaret, what do you have to put down to stay in relationship? And it just came out of my mouth without thinking the word hope. I need to put down hope. And then we took a pretty deep dive into what it means to put down hope. And it is radical, right? Mm-hmm. It really, it turns out to mean putting down any hope that that person will hear you, will apologize to you, will slow it down, will be nicer. You have to put down hope, stop hoping for any of those things. You have to stop hoping that this person is going to change, is going to learn anything, is going to wake up. All of it has to be put down.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of the article, and then I'll pause for a minute, it was about squirrels. And my therapist said, okay, it sounds like you're starting to understand, what it means really to put down hope. And so she was like, so I'm going to give you a little quiz. What if you're on the phone with him and he says something mean or gets into bullying mode? What are you going to do? And my first answer, kind of coming from a very pleaser background, was like, I'm going to stand up to him. I'm going to say, Dad, you can't talk to me that way. And my therapist smiled and gave me that full of love look. And she said, Margaret, you can tell somebody that they can't talk to you it sounds a lot like you're still hoping that you can change how they talk to you, right? So mm-hmm. we're not yet at radical acceptance at all. If you still, she said, mm-hmm. here's what I want you to do. I want you to get off the phone. Like, I don't want you to stay on the phone if things are going south, but say, Dad, I just ran over a squirrel. I got to go. And then hang up the phone.
Yeah.
So my dad thought I was a squirrel killer big time in those last few years. I mean, I'm pretty sure he already thought I was a terrible driver, but boy, it got worse after that.
You killed a lot of squirrels at the end of his life.
I ran over a lot of squirrels.
Metaphorically, folks, metaphorically.
I never actually ran over a squirrel.
Right. It's good. Like, Brené Brown talks in her very engaging audio program on the power of vulnerability, talks about shame triggers. And when one of her strategies was when she had a shame gremlin creeping up her leg, she would just say, I'm sorry, I need to reschedule this meeting. And that would, and walk out. Yeah. So it's a similar, sometimes the, if you can't deal with the emotion in the moment, then I think it's perfectly acceptable. You know, in some of our conversations when we were a larger team, I had to excuse myself a couple of times because I just got flooded and I couldn't respond skillfully in the moment. So sometimes it's better to, in my opinion, it's better to excuse yourself and say, we'll reschedule this and go do some PQ reps, sleep on it overnight, whatever it is that will help you to recover to self and radically accept whatever happened or didn't happen.
And I think, you know, David, you're really speaking to what I imagine is a very trauma-informed, you know, like when we are flooded, when we are triggered, you know, for anybody who has PTSD or, you know, when you are suddenly no longer operating the wheel of, you know, of your metaphoric body car, mm-hmm. The kindest thing that we can do for ourselves is to stop trying to, you know, act like a grown up, right? It's actually just to care for ourselves mm-hmm. until something's possible. But when we're triggered like that, right? No good conversations come of that. Only thing we can't unsay. So yes, leaving
is
a gift to yourself.
It is. And there's a way that some of you in the audience might be saying that, you know, you're not willing to accept that you need to remove yourself from a situation. You see, there's another form of this radical acceptance called radical self-acceptance. Hmm. So it's not just about, and yes, it is about accepting others and who they are. And if you choose to, that's a choice. Or circumstances, you know, you may be in a difficult circumstance at work or stuck on a freeway in Los Angeles. And you can either resist that and get, as someone who resisted and got very angry and stressed by traffic, I can tell you now I'm much better at accepting it rather than railing against it. But also this topic includes radically accepting yourself, even if you say, like, you have to excuse yourself because you're completely flooded. The inner critic could come in and say, ah, you see, you've done all that work and you can't handle it. Or the inner critic will, you know, stand in there, stand your ground, or you know, whatever.
Right. I would counter, like, in the topic of this conversation of acceptance of another person, there's this equal weight there that, you know, as long as you are in relationship with another person and they continue to inflict new wounds and you continue to receive new wounds, this becomes very difficult, right? It's really hard to get from there to peace. And so part of the equation is accepting the other person. And as you say, David, part of it is accepting yourself. Like, if I stay in this conversation right now, I will be bleeding when I get off the phone, right? Yep. There will be a new wound and I'm going to protect myself. Yep. And that's really important, like knowing that you can protect yourself and keep yourself safe. that enables a lot in terms of staying in relationship with somebody who's hard for you.
Yeah. So let's put it into context. I know we're talking about intimate relationships, parents, spouses, children. This applies to all of that. And it also applies to the work environment or the professional environment. And since, among other places, this is going to air on LinkedIn, what might this look like, Margaret, in a professional setting?
Yeah, well, I know, and you know, as a coach, when we talk to people and they're having trouble with a colleague, you know, and we as coaches get to smile lovingly and say like, well, that person's not here for coaching. Right? So all we can actually talk about is how you respond to them. And so now we're in the land of acceptance, right? Which is you don't actually have any control over another person, whether it's a family member or, you know, anybody who's worked on a team has probably had the experience of having a team member, whether it's a boss or somebody you're supervising who, you know, sends you through the roof with some regularity.
Right. So it's
the first, So just the first thing is like, where's your lane and where are you out of your lane versus where are you in your lane? And what do you have control over? And what do you have to accept that you can't control?
Hey, that's where I was heading. Yes. So in other words, if you have a very, you have a, let's just say a supervisor or a boss who is very demanding in a harsh sort of way, that is, then you feel that not respectful. This could go even farther, and you can't remove yourself like right now, and because you don't have an alternative job or you're supporting your family. So we're not talking about physical violence here. I want to be clear, if you're being assaulted, don't accept it. Remove yourself from the situation if you can, or come train self-defense with me and I'll show you how to deal with people like that in jiu-jitsu. But we're not suggesting that. What we are suggesting is that if you're choosing to stay in the role that you're in, then the radical shift would be to accept the way that person is or is not.
Yeah. And I just want to kind of fill in. I mean, often it feels like there are only two possible solutions or choices, right? Do I stay or do I go when you're in a heart, right? When it feels so awful. Right. And I want to add, like, you know, if you feel emotionally abused by your boss, then, you know, then we err much towards going.
Right.
But that also comes from accepting that, you know, that you are unlikely to change this person or the way that they interact with you. But I think what we're searching for is, you know, what if there are more than two choices? What if there's a whole bunch of real estate in the middle about how you interact with this person that gives you more choice to, you don't have to, you know, choice number one is stay and change nothing. And choice number two is leave, but that there are many, many choices in the middle of like, what can I do to respond differently, to leave the, you know, to stand up and leave the room if I need to, right? Like what are some strategies for me to be able to deal with a really difficult person?
Well, let's just say, I agree. There's like a whole spectrum there between, you know, staying and taking it and leaving and not taking it. And, you know, let's bring it down a notch. Let's say you have an annoying colleague.
Right.
Right. Well, you could get annoyed every time you interact with this person, or you can just choose to accept that's the way they are. And you get to be free. Right. So this is what I like, you know, to ask clients, especially around forgiveness. So like, certainly in my mind, radical acceptance lives in the land of forgiveness also, or these two are closely linked in that forgiveness or acceptance is a choice. You can choose to accept that they did something or they said something, and you can also choose to forgive. so that you are free from the afflictive emotion of annoyance or frustration or anger or sadness or hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like curiosity is another great tool to work towards acceptance and to work towards, you know, I'm just thinking back to a situation where, you know, talking to a person runs a team. I mean, I feel like I've had this conversation with more than one person. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you have a team of three or four or five or six, you know, there's going to be one person who really just doesn't do meetings, even though you feel strongly that, you know, that there should be a meeting once a week for everybody to compare notes or to check in or to see each other live, you know, that there's always one person who's going to sit at that, who's going to get there late and sit at the conference table and not be able to put their phone down. And mm-hmm. so we talked about curiosity as a strategy.
Curiosity, one of the superpowers, or we call them the sage powers in our positive intelligence program. There's another one I think that's helpful, which is the navigate power. Like, what would my wiser elder self say about this situation? Or, you know, looking forward 10 years from now. So this is like the, this is the game you play when you're triggered, right? This is the call the navigate power or the big picture. Like, what would my wiser elder self say about this situation, this part 10 years from now, looking back on it? Usually you come back, usually your wiser elder self comes back with like, oh, no big deal. Usually that's the answer that comes back or something else.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? Yeah.
One of the things I've enjoyed is there's a whole visualization to help us get in touch with that wiser elder self. And it's just really fun if you choose to do this, to close your eyes and imagine, you know, where you're living, like where are you? And what does inside of your house look like? And what do you have hanging on the walls 10 years from now? And it really kind of has helped me get into the spirit so I can visualize where I am when I go to ask my wiser elder self questions.
Yeah. But
yes. And almost invariably the older wise self is like, don't sweat the small stuff. Right. Like, are you sure you wanted to pick that battle? Like, right. That's good. That almost always is what my wiser elder self.
Or another way of tapping into this perspective, this bigger picture perspective, is you can ask yourself, what's important here right now? What's important here? Yeah. Like, oftentimes in my practice, it always comes back, well, the relationship's important to me, so I'm going to let this go. Right. Or there's some other bigger value.
But if what feels important is being respected as the boss, right? Yeah. Well, that is not a place that acceptance comes from.
No, that would be the judge. That would be sort of, I think that would be more of a saboteur response. I need to be respected, or they should respect me. That's judge talk, right? That's not wiser elder self talk. That's coming from the ego. What's important here? Yeah. The relationship, you'll find, or many times, the relationship is more important than the behavior in that moment. And so you accept the behavior and move on, because, you know, if you've been married for any period of time, as I have and you have, Margaret, you learn to accept things or not. Yeah. Trying to think, you know, there's also the activate power of the sage. You know, you can get into action. You can remove yourself, you know, if it's just you can't deal with it in the moment and it's so frustrating to you, you get up and excuse yourself. That would be like a good use of the activate power. Get into action, you know. So those are some ways, tools. We said we would give you some tools. You know, I do think that I'm kind of in the space right now. I'm going through the PQ program again, as you are, Margaret, because we both have clients and there's some new, really good and new content in the app. And I'm sort of at the end where Shirzad, who's sort of the creator of this program, is encouraging us to love your body, like radically accept your body. And I'm having a lot of difficulties with my body right now. And boy, this is hitting me like an arrow between the eyes of just radically accepting the aging process and the breakdowns that are happening that I'm just not in control of. I'm doing what I can. But boy, so this radical acceptance really, you know, how many times, folks, do you look in the mirror and you only nitpick stuff about yourself? You know, quite frequently, actually more, I'd say more often than not, when you look at yourself, you're not saying, I love myself. Yeah, that would be radical acceptance.
It is, but that's such a great example, David, because I mean, I think all of us deeply understand on some level, you know, that shaking your fist at aging doesn't change the fact that we all are going to age, right? Mm-hmm. Up until we stop aging and then things are over, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. when you think about it kind of objectively, of all the places that we actually have so little power over, right. You know, years go by, we get older and we can do what we can do, right? We can eat and exercise and sleep and do all of those things, you know, use expensive face cream, like whatever it is that we believe. That's what you do, right? Use super expensive face cream.
I go with the expensive, I just borrow my wife's. Which is actually it. She actually does have the expensive face cream in the refrigerator. And she's like putting it on last night. He says, oh, this feels like silk. And I was like, oh, good for you. You know, if it makes you feel better, use it.
All right. Well, and if you're stealing her face cream, she's going to have to radically accept you, isn't she?
Yeah. I'm going to sneak it. So, you know, but then when it's half gone, she'll be like, what the hell happened to my face cream? Have you been using my face cream? Go watch our video, sweetie. Accept it. So, you know, you can
go with it. Yeah.
Go with it, you know. Use your wiser Ella self. How big a deal was it that David used my face cream?
Literally, we're digressing here.
We're just having fun for giggles
is never a bad thing. But I do think, you know, this idea of aging, like when you're not looking at yourself, but you can kind of take a step out and you look at like how much effort we could put into resisting aging and like, how's that going to go? Right.
Right. Like, I mean, I had an incident yesterday. Margaret and I didn't have a chance to mention this to you before we got on, but I woke up with what seemed like, I lost Margaret, so I'll add her back. Hey, Margaret.
I don't know what just happened there. I just disappeared.
Technology. So I had an incident yesterday. I didn't mention this to you before, Margaret, but I woke up with what I thought was an ocular migraine. I've had one of these once before. It's my blurry field of view. Not so blurry. It's really weird. Like everything's moving and a little headachey and nausea. And I felt absolutely miserable yesterday. And could be some other things that are going on with me right now with health, and could have been a result of the anesthesia that I had for surgery a week ago. So who knows what it was. But boy, there was a piece of me that did not want to accept what was happening. And my wife was very concerned, as she often is, and checking in on me. And based on your article from yesterday and based on my own work in positive intelligence, I just said to her, and I was basically saying to myself, I'm just accepting that this is what's happening right now. I'm not trying to fix it. I don't feel like I'm in any danger I'm breathing fine. My heart rate is fine. You know, my blood pressure, there's just something going on. Mm-hmm. And that was very helpful. That was very, this is what an example I'm giving you from my own life, like yesterday. And so I'm thinking maybe there are like three realms that we could invite the audience to consider radically accepting something that they're resisting, you know, in the realm of some circumstance that you're involved with, some relationship you're involved with, or something about yourself that you're unwilling to accept right now.
Yeah. And just think about, what really is the deeper meaning of accepting? You know, what do you have to accept?
Yeah.
Really fully inhabit, like, I have accepted this.
Yeah. Yeah. What do I need to let go of?
You know, hint, it has to do with not fighting or wishing it was different, right? Not believing that you have power to change it, like fully understanding.
Not smoking opium.
Not smoking opium, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, wishing that it wasn't happening.
Yeah. You know. And just to circle back, like when I really did practice radical acceptance with my dad, it created an enormous amount of peace in our relationship. It was not warm and fuzzy. There were not unicorns and bunnies on every day, but I didn't get wrecked by spending time with him. It just, you know, something really, really shifted. And we had some great laughs together and, you know, in the months leading up to, he did pass away in October of 2024. And it felt good to me to be able to be part of his life. And it felt amazing to me to find myself less reactive.
Yeah.
So a lot is possible that you don't even know. You just don't even know yet what it feels like to feel peaceful in a relationship if you're still fighting it.
I like what you're saying, Margaret. I think we touched upon it earlier, is that when you radically accept some situation, some person, or yourself, you are the one that gets to be at peace. You are the one that gets to be free. So you're not doing this for the other person. You know, you're doing this for yourself so that you can be free of whatever afflictive emotion is biting at your heels right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Margaret?
No migraine today, I hope. What happened when you accepted that yesterday?
I was more peaceful. I had already been making progress through the day. So it calmed me down, and it certainly calmed my wife down. You know, so that's another thing. There is an impact like that, as you said, with your father, when you radically accepted what he was going through, not only were you at peace, but it seems like your interactions with him, maybe even his interactions, improved, or at the very least, you were willing to be with him.
Yeah. He sensed something different too. I feel like one great way to think about this is, you know, both my dad and I, as everybody is in a relationship, are two parts in the same engine.
Yep.
And we can't change the other person's part, but if we change our part, the engine runs differently. The engine of the relationship runs differently.
Yeah, it does. And I've seen this time and time again. It takes some practice, folks. So start small. Like maybe with a circumstance, I think people are harder, and being kind and gentle and accepting yourself can even be harder for many of us. So start small. Like, is there some circumstance, like you're in traffic and you're going to be late for work? Like, are you willing? You could start to ask yourself in the big picture, 10 years from now, when I look back at this particular day of my life, what would I say about it being late for work today? You know, that's a good one. Something like that. Right. Yeah. Start small and see, you know, write us. You've got our email addresses here on the screen. We'd love to hear from you, or you can comment in the comments on the post in LinkedIn. And we'd love to hear how you're doing with this.
Yeah.
All right. Go put it into practice. Take care.